Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary, and I want to say happy Halloween to all of you. I hope you had a great time. So it's I hope you had a good time trick-or-treating. I know my kids, my grandkids were dressed to the hilt, had a great time hanging out with some kids at their school in a safe environment. They were thrilled to come back with a lot of candy. How much candy did you get on this Halloween, Mike?
Only the candy that was in the office here.
Only the candy.
Yeah,
in the office.
I did actually buy some candy, and I had not one single trick or treater in my house. So well, now I have a candy surplus.
I have had a similar experience with that over the years. I'm kind of isolated. There's two homes on the one street that I live in that is looking over the valley, and I'm not sure. We've been there 50 years now. I'm pretty sure we haven't had 50 people at my home for Halloween. We don't even, we decorated a couple. We added some ghouls and ghosts or whatever. It was up and around, but kids put some stickers up on the window, but they had their bags full when they came home. So I was very pleased that we were able to get through that. It's been a great week. We also have a new champion for baseball. Baseball is officially over with as we get into November. The Texas Rangers took down the Arizona Diamondbacks 4-1. And we have, I guess a rebirth of Mr. October. Mr. October was on last week with us, and now we have another rendition of Mr. October and Corey Seager, who's now won two of those awards and two World Series championships. So congratulations to Corey. Great season. And Bruce Bochy wins another world championship. That's number 4 from him, and comes out of retirement and kind of a la Dusty Baker. We've had two old school managers win the world championships in last years, and on teams that were these two teams this year lost 100 games in the last 2 years, and they're both wildcard teams. So always something new and exciting when you watch Major League Baseball. And we have a terrific guest with us, a man that you all know very well from his being a legendary Dodger catcher, a two-time world championship participant, and Mike Socia. Also has the wonderful idea of having a world championship under his managerial career as well. So we'll be back with Mike Socia, our new guest, right after this.
Fred Dreyer here, the Heartburn Hunter. You know, when you're young, your immune system is strong. But as you get older, coffee, alcohol, and fast food makes your body acidic. But now there's Balance 7. In just 3 days, it starts diluting the acid buildup in your body. 3 1-ounce drinks a day is all you're going to need. Are you tired of just being sick and tired? Balance 7 is the answer. You'll notice less joint discomfort, more energy, and heartburn is no longer a problem. You'll feel younger and healthier with more mental clarity. I know because I use it every day. Right now, try Balance 7 and get 15% off your order a free bottle of My Smooth Skin, free shipping, and a money-back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose, folks. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. That's 800-793-9039 or visit balancethenumber7.com, code word Fred. Call 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in the same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at bfffinancial.com.
Are you ready to make a difference for the environment while helping the visually impaired at the same time? Then donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind today by calling 800-785-9618. Every donated vehicle will either be properly recycled in an eco-friendly manner or given a new life through reuse. Donating your vehicle is easy. Simply call 1-800-785-9618 and Heritage for the Blind will do the rest. They'll even arrange for your vehicle to be picked up at no cost to you. And for a limited time, when you donate your car, you'll receive a $200 restaurant voucher and a two-night, three-day hotel stay at one of 50 locations. Call 800-785-9618 right now to schedule your tax-deductible vehicle donation and make a positive impact on the environment while helping others. Heritage for the Blind, where every car donation counts and every person makes a difference. Call 1-800-785-9618 now.
They still call me the Penguin. Okay, we have returned from the break, and our special guest, Mike Socia, will receive a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud partner of We'll See About That. Please be sure to use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at melissas.com. Michael, thank you for coming back and showing us your expertise of what you feel was highlights of the World Series. Certainly, it's been an interesting year. We had a number of teams that won 100 games. We're in the driver's seat and couldn't make it. And once again, the Philadelphia Phillies got hot like the Padres did from a year before at the right time, but it did not carry them into the World Series. What were your surprises and otherwise going into the playoffs this year?
Well, you know, Penguin, a couple things. I think the fact that some teams, and we talked about this before, a lot of us that were in baseball that I still keep in contact with, those 4 to 5 days off are really rough on a team.
Yeah,
you know how important timing is and keeping people sharp and keeping your edge. I know these teams try to do the best they can with simulated games and playing, you know, some kind of scrimmages, but I think that's definitely set some teams back, and some of those teams couldn't recover. They faced some teams that got hot. Dodgers obviously swept by Arizona, and then, you know, Arizona does the same thing, you know, goes in there and beats Philly. I think you get some of those results when teams are just a little bit off. It happens during the season occasionally, but this was almost like you know, you shot yourself in the foot, baseball did, by having such a long break there. There's not an easy way around it. No. They're working, you know, to get in, you know, some wild card and get some, you know, a little series there. But it does push these teams that were ready to play back. And I think that's something that set a tone for the, you know, for the playoffs.
Well, there's no question that the Dodgers are probably the ones that are going to make the biggest complaint about it because they did not play well. Their stars did not perform. They got one hit, I believe, between the two or three of them, Mookie Betts and Freeman and possibly Will Smith. I'm not exactly sure. But I do know that, you know, when they had to ask Kershaw to begin the playoffs, you're almost in a you're not in the spot that you want to be. He's not that kind of a guy anymore. If he couldn't be the opening day starter, it really pushes the burden on him. And when you don't hit, you don't win. And Arizona was extremely hot. They jumped on them from the get-go. First inning, I think, the first two games, and just buried it from the get-go. That's a tough thing to respond from.
Excuse me. Yes, it is. You know, Clayton, he's special, and he had thrown the ball okay before, but it was just one of those days where he couldn't get the ball where he wanted to. You know, his velo is down. We know from what you would look at, so he's not quite the same. But he's shown that he can be effective, and it just didn't happen on that night. I really think you need to pitch, and particularly in your bullpen. Your bullpen needs to be set when you go into the playoffs, and the teams that were. I think you saw a better outcome. I think Bruce Bochy did a great job from a bullpen that was mediocre at best early in the season, even though we're winning games. They were doing with offense to be able to have it come together and hold leads in the playoffs was tremendous. You know, you look at Houston's bullpen was tremendous. These teams might have had little lulls during the season with their pen, but they put it together. And I know you said if you don't hit, you don't win. You're right about that, but you really need to pitch. I think any team would rather have their pitching in form going into the playoffs and then maybe try to manufacture runs if they have to, which you have to do against good pitching anyway.
Absolutely, and I think Arizona, they were hungry, just like the Phillies were hungry. I think that really helps. They had to battle throughout, which I think is an advantage once you get to that point in time in the year. And now those teams at the top who won that right to get the bye. It is a setback a little bit. You know, they weren't fighting for the same thing down the stretch to be fine-tuned at the time that you go in there. And I know it's a crapshoot anyway, because you just hope that you're playing consistently well. And then, as in Texas's case, they got three of their stars hot, red hot, Garcia, Simeon, and, of course, World Series MVP Seager.
Exactly. And, you know, I think some of the teams going into the playoffs had what I call an adaptable offense. They didn't have to always hit the ball out of the park. You saw Houston be able to shorten up their swings. They were tremendous with guys in scoring position about putting the ball in play. Got a lot of hits. They ran the bases like demons, which was fun to watch. And the Phillies had some component of that, being able to run the bases. But, you know, those guys were win and you know, they live and die by the home run. And unfortunately, it was there. When it was there, they won. And when it wasn't, they didn't. And Arizona got some good pitching at key times to hold the Phillies down, and you saw how that series went. So I think that Texas was able to, you know, not only hit the ball out of the park, but they did a lot with runners in scoring position, ran the bases aggressively. I think that's all part of baseball. And Arizona did it as well as it could be done. Those guys just, I think their gas tank was empty at the end. Yeah. They didn't have quite enough pitching. They had to have that bullpen game, which obviously, didn't go the way they wanted to. So, you know, all that adds up. I just think that the one thing I hope that MLB would look into, and it's really tough, it's tough to do, is, one day off is great, 2 days off, okay, 3 days off, well, you know, you're getting there. When teams are getting 4 and 5 days off, that's, that's definitely something you have to work through.
Yeah, no question. Let's talk a little bit about you won a World Series. What are some of the things in a short series that you change, say, from the regular season? And this with everything on the line, I mean, you everybody's got to know exactly where they're positioned. How did you set your stuff up when you were going in that?
Well, I think first and foremost, you have a little shorter leash with your starting pitcher. You don't need that extra inning like you might need in May or June. You know, where you need those extra four or five outs at a certain time. So you have a little shorter leash with your starter, which you might or might not need. Some guys pitch deep into games and pitch very well, but obviously puts a little more pressure on your bullpen. If there are roles that are defined, then you want to keep rolling with them. If there aren't, you have to make adjustments on the fly. We did an 0-2 with Francisco Rodriguez. He came up in September 18th onto our team and showed that he had the stuff that would it might ignite your bullpen moving on. So we started him just in our bullpen early, just pitching middle of a game. And by the end, he was pitching in the eighth inning. And I think that, as I said before, I think Bruce Bochy did a great job adapting to that, as Dusty Baker did. And, in Arizona, I don't know if Torrey had as much depth in his pen as some of the other guys, but they certainly made the adjustments I think you have to make in a short series.
Well, I was very pleased. I thought that, especially in the World Series, that you started to see some old-school baseball come back in. They were actually bunting players over in the third inning of two different games I saw. And it's hard for me to sit back here and watch the games during the course of the regular season, which small ball doesn't really play much of a game in. And now you get to the season where we all know that you're playing your most important games, and small ball comes back into it. It pleased me very much to see that it still is alive and well, and you still need to execute, even though they know you're going to try to do it.
Exactly, Ron. I think, I think bunting's got it's got a bad rap because even sabermetric guys are they don't if you read their Bible, which is called the book, in it says that bunting is not preferable if you're going for a multi runs in one inning. Well, we know that forever. But if you need one run, it can be very advantageous. So right. That part of it is, but. Also, I think putting the ball in play, runners in scoring position, shortening your swing with two strikes, all this stuff I think is important, and we saw that in the series, and that was fun to watch.
We're going to be taking a small break here in a moment, and we're going to be talking more metrics with our special guest, Mike Socha, right after this.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, If you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Okay, we have returned, and we are here with special guest Mike Socha, and we are speaking about metrics in baseball today. Where were you in your career when metrics started to come into the game, and how did you feel about it at the time?
Well, I think as a player, we always used we used numbers. We used data. We knew what a pitcher would throw against us or his tendencies on certain counts. We certainly knew what pitcher was a little wild and had a lot of walks showing up in his game. We used things you could really apply. As far as a lot of the analytics that came along, probably started in the mid, about 2005, 2006, you started to get a little more information, and some teams were doing it a little bit more, some less. And then you got hit with this wave of macro stats that that really need to be chopped down and see if you can apply them. And that started probably, 2010, 11, 12, somewhere around there.
How many managers have control of the lineup today, writing it?
It's tough. I don't have to guess. I know that it's a lot. It's a lot less than 20, 30 years ago. It's a lot less. There's only probably, and I'm guessing at this, Ron.
Yeah, it's okay.
I think there's maybe, eight or nine managers that I think you look at and you know they'll get some input, but the final stamp that goes on the lineup is coming from them.
And that is all your people who are crunching numbers upstairs, correct?
I think there's a lot more influence, not only pregame, to get a lineup down that on that day they feel is going to be the most productive. During the game now, I think you're getting a lot of scripted bullpen use. You're getting a lot of scripted game management that in my mind, it tilts too heavy to the macro.
Yeah.
And I think that it doesn't let you go pitch by pitch in the micro of what a pitcher needs, especially game planning. I think you're seeing this one size fits all approach to how pitchers need to game plan, and we know that's just not the way to go. It's just that need to adjust from pitcher to pitcher and what stuff is working not only on a given day but what stuff is working where they are during the season is critical.
What's funny about all of this metric stuff for me is that when we were playing, there wasn't a general manager in baseball, and in particular Al Campanis, who would be in Tommy's office every single day fighting for guys he wanted to have in the lineup. So isn't it kind of funny that it's kind of come full circle back to this where now they actually are writing up the lineups?
Yeah, I think that there's always been – and I think when I was managing, you certainly took input from the front office as to, who might be a good matchup on a given day or where you would use a player. But it was always left up to us to make that final decision. And, you talk about a lot of data you would get, and we were very proactive. And I go back to game planning because I think that's the biggest part of the game. Biggest part of your defense is the guy on the mound, and how he uses his pitches is the biggest part. And we would take things like pitches, we call them PBCs, pitches behind the count. We wanted to know how many pitches during that game he was throwing behind the count and when it was, because if you think of it as being a hitter, if being a pitcher, the average right-handed pitcher would throw about 26 out of 100 pitches behind the count during a game. If all of a sudden he got up to 35, think if you had 9 free looks in a hitting count than you might have had if he was being more effective. That's going to affect the outcome of the game.
Yeah, it will.
For sure. So things like this that are applicable are welcome, and we use them, and we put them into play. And then there are some other macro stats that it just suffocates you. There's just no way to apply it. And if you try to make moves during a game, I think it's more of a distraction to your club than the benefits you're going to get.
No question, I believe that. And I also want to go back to the idea that the metrics actually will change, I think, the attitude of a general manager's opinions about how you should go about playing a game, too, right?
Well,
you had that experience.
There's
right?
some of that. Oh, no, there's no doubt about the influence of not running in and outs in the bases and not pressuring teams because of maybe what they would perceive as the downside. I think that's that's something that you need to work out as an organization. And I've had guys that definitely had a heavy hand on the style that you wanted to play. Some of the moves you would make, I think it should be left up to the guys that are down there working with the players every day, because you have a better understanding about where a player is. I think, Rod, a lot of these numbers that come in and the data are projected performance, which I think helps the front office, helps a GM when they're signing players, or are they going to sign this guy long-term, or is there something where they don't see him as a long-term fit because of what they would project his performance on. And some of these numbers are really good, but it's impossible to apply on a pitch-to-pitch basis. You want to put a player out there, keep him confident, match up the best you can, and let these guys play baseball.
How difficult is it, or is it difficult at all, when you're receiving that instruction from the general manager, when the people in the front office who are actual baseball people, rather than now, where you see a lot of people in the front office are like MBAs or computer science majors who worked on Wall Street? I'm sure it must be easier to more palatable to get that information from somebody who actually knows the game, right?
To be honest with you, I never felt I never really considered the source of where information was coming. I would evaluate it. Sometimes we would get a chart on hit and run if it was feasible or not with certain players. And you look at ground ball percentage, and some of that's enlightening, and that's coming from some guys that might not have played the game of baseball at a level that you did. So I never considered where it was coming from. I wanted to look at the information in a unbiased way. But I'll be honest with you, there's only a certain percentage that you're able to apply. There's only a certain percentage that's going to make your team better with those decisions, and a lot of it, as I already stated, is really for projected performance that the front office would use.
Did you ever feel at a time, based on the metrics that and the input that was coming back to you, was they were trying to take some of your aggressiveness away from you?
Oh, definitely. I think that you go through that at times. There's always going to be different philosophies of how you what you're about, how you want to go about winning a game, or how you want to go about, what's your identity, how you want to go about, during a season. I was always a big believer in base running. We came up in the same organization. We learned it in the minor leagues about, being aggressive with a secondary lead, understanding the importance of taking that extra base, whether it was the biggest one was going first to third. And I know you guys did it great before I came up. We did it in the minor leagues with the Dodgers. I've seen the value of creating your first and third situation as much as you can, as opposed to staying in a first and second situation. So if we could force that and get our guys to trust that, it helped. And that wasn't to the liking of some front office guys that I work with. They had a much more batter's box approach, just let these guys swing. And my approach was always, I want the guys to swing. We love home runs, but let's take a little pressure off them, and maybe that sack flies there, on this certain game that can help us win a game, as opposed to the 450-foot home run.
Where do you think we lost our way with the game in terms of saying this is a strikeout home run game today? Why do we strike out so many times? Why is it okay for them to hit 200 and feel okay about it?
Well, that's something that has definitely come into baseball, and that's why I think it's refreshing when you see teams that have success that really concentrate on hitting over in scoring position or having a two-strike approach to get back into account. You know, how many 0-2 home runs are hit? Not many, Penguin, right?
Right.
So if you get down 0-2, you certainly want to be a little bit, not really defensive, but you want to let that ball travel a little bit, be a little shorter, trying to foul something off that's tough and get back into account where a pitcher might have, you know, make a mistake. That's not really the way it is right now. I think guys have foregone the two-strike approach of getting back into counts and just looking for that mistake on an 0-2 pitch and letting that barrel fly, and it's going to lead to more strikeouts for sure.
Do you think they look pitch and location, and if they don't get exactly that, they can't pull the trigger?
I think they're looking more pitch now than location. I think they're looking for what the probability is on a certain count that a guy will throw, whether it's a cut or slide or curveball, whatever it might be. And a lot of teams are using that and putting that in place. And you see a lot of, you see probably more strikeouts looking. And you also see some balls hit a little harder with two strikes that, wouldn't be if you're back trying to get yourself back into account. So it's personal preference. I certainly like the hitter that gets back into counts and gets to that 3-2 count, and maybe that slider is just a get-over slider, and he gets a much better pitch than he did trying to just hit the 0-2 pitch. The 0-2 pitch.
Do you think, Corey Seager here as an example is so predictable, and he's so successful.
He's a slasher.
He is a first ball, fastball primarily hitter, but his success, his aggressiveness, he's not going to get cheated. And I wouldn't say that he strikes out more than everybody else. I don't think he does that. He's a good contact hitter. He hits 300. He drives in a lot of runs. He scores. He creates. He created that inning in which they blew the game open last night with a base hit the other way against the shift.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be so locked in with his approach. He doesn't seem to get deterred very often.
Great hand-eye coordination, and he's got power at all fields. He's just a tremendous offensive player at a premium position playing shortstop, and that's such an asset to a team to have that kind of offense from a what's primarily is a important defensive position.
Yeah, well, Corey Seager's proven a lot of people wrong about not being able to play shortstop with his size. We'll return right after this message with Mike Socia.
This year, Staples will not be celebrating the holidays. Instead, we're celebrating the holiday deals with amazing savings for the holiday season. Save 50% on custom holiday cards, save 50% on custom invitations, and save 50% on custom photo gifts like mugs and calendars. During Staples holiday deals, it's not about the ho-ho-ho, it's about saving do-do-do. Save 50% on custom cards, invitations, and photo gifts today at Staples. Ends 12/16. Visit staples.com/print for more details.
A psoriasis flare-up can make a walk in the park, well, no walk in the park.
It's that obvious, huh? I've tried so many lotions and creams, but I still have symptoms.
So those don't do enough to treat the inflammation beneath the skin, leaving you with those uncontrolled symptoms.
Makes sense, but what else can I do?
You can get real with your dermatologist so they can help you get clear. Make an appointment and, you're already on it.
Hi, yes, I'd like to make an appointment.
Get real clear about psoriasis at letsgetrealclear.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Enjoy an ice-cold Coke from Burger King while supporting your community. Coca-Cola is a proud supporter of the Burger King Foundation, which has granted over $60 million in scholarships to over 55,000 scholars, creating brighter futures and positive change in the lives of children and families through education. Now through the end of November, join Burger King in raising funds for the Burger King Foundation's education initiatives and enjoy 3 delicious menu items for just $1. Visit a participating Burger King restaurant and purchase 3 coupons for $1 to help positively impact your community. Each coupon gets you your choice of a free small soft drink or coffee, free small fries or hash browns, and a free small soft serve. All funds raised stay local, right in your zip code. Burger King Foundation scholarships are open to team members and community members, and your dollar makes a difference. So go ahead and have it your way, and know that you're also giving back to your community. Visit your local participating restaurant or www.burgerkingfoundation.org for more information.
There's lots to love from Apple right now at Verizon. Get the new iPhone 15 Pro with titanium and more to love from Apple on us with select phone trade-in and select unlimited plans. There's no better place to get what you love from Apple than at Verizon. And there's no better time than right now. All that with the network you can really rely on. It's your Verizon. $999.99 device payment or full retail purchase with new smartphone line on select 5G unlimited plans required. Less up to $1,000 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Promo credit ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. 0% APR. Trade-in conditions apply. One offer per eligible Verizon line. Additional terms apply.
Exergen thermometers are proven to be more accurate than non-contact thermometers. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Clinical studies have proven that non-contact thermometers are inaccurate and can miss fevers. Accuracy matters. That's why the Exergen thermometer is trusted and used by medical professionals. Exergen thermometers are available at many fine retailers. Choose a trusted and accurate thermometer for personal use. Learn more about why accuracy matters. Available at Walmart and participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone. Fred Slammer.
2-2 to Say.
It's a high in the air to deep left field. Whitfield back. She's gone.
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
And this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial. 2001, Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling are named co-MVPs of the World Series. The Diamondback Hurlers are the first multiple winners. And why am I doing this for This Week in Dodger History? They are the first multiple winners since a trio of Dodgers in 1981 shared the MVP award. And those three Dodgers are Pedro Guerrero, Steve Yeager, and the man himself, Mr. Ron Say.
Much. I remember that very well, and so does Michael. And we were very happy that we were finally able to break that door down. Tremendous experience. I just posted something on Instagram here a few days ago. October 30th was the parade downtown, and that was very special. Very special to all of us. And it ended up at City Hall, and it was a great day that we all remember very well. You're remembering of that a little bit?
You know, Penguin, as I kind of reminisce, you know, coming up in, it came up in 1980 for about half the season, and 81 was just a terrific first half of the season. Got off to a great start, and unfortunately we had the work stoppage.
Right.
But going through the playoffs and going through the World Series against the Yankees, afterwards, I really could feel what the frustration you guys felt in 77 and 78. You came so close, and you didn't get there against against an incredible team. And in 81, when like you said, we pushed the door open, won the World Series. It was you guys just relaxed. You kind of exhaled. I think as much as you talk about the Yankees, how well they played, that Dodger team in 77 and 78, I'd put up against any team that ever was on the baseball field. Yeah. And you came close and just couldn't quite get it done with just really a couple plays that that Nettles made, it was crazy. I mean, a couple plays, it's a whole different series. But as we won in 81, I could sense the relief that you guys had, and it hit home that, hey, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was just great. You know, it was a combination of a lot of things. You know, we ran into, Craig Nettles' glove, and we ran into Reggie's, terrific three-home-run game in the World Series. And it was the time that we felt like we were going to be able to get past this and get to Game 7, and he goes off on us. And then the interference call in 78 blew the series apart for us.
Gosh.
We just were not able to recover. But we were finally the team of destiny in 81, and it was the last game that the infield ever played. Davey Lopes moved on after that. And then Steve Sachs took over at second base, and we played another year together. But then it broke apart, and we moved on. But we were able to finally live that dream and etch ourselves in Dodger history in a moment that I will never forget. Your time in Anaheim, you had some really great years, great teams, great players. The current situation in Anaheim doesn't look to be very good in terms of the eyes of the people who are the fans. You know, you've got Shohei Ohtani, who may not be back, who's been the best player in baseball for the last couple of years. He may not return. You've had Rendon have numerous injuries over the course of the year, and just a few years ago, you know, he was one of the five best third basemen in baseball.
I mean, he was mashing it.
And then, of course, Mike Trout's health. The last 3 years, he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and he's making $40 million a year.
And you know what? He's worth every penny.
I understand that.
And you know, here's a couple things, Penguin. The situation isn't going to get better until the players on the field get better. What I mean get better is get healthy. You know, guys like Rendon, Mike, they need pitching desperately, and I know that they've tried to address that. Thing about Mike Trout is I think that he plays so hard in center field. And as we said, Corey Seager being such an asset to bring that offense from a shortstop position.
Right.
Same with Mike Trout to play center field. You can get two hammers on each side of him that are not great defenders that just play okay outfield with Mike in center, and you got a stronger lineup. So I really feel you keep Mike in center, and I would suggest that you would limit his games to about 135, 140 games a year and do it proactively so he gets his rest, so he plays at a higher level. He'll still get 700-plus plate appearances, so the numbers are going to be there. But he's going to be better in the long run. If Shohei Ohtani's there, remains to be seen. He won't pitch next year. So,
do you think that's good or bad? I mean, I understand right now it's probably a necessity.
Yeah.
But taking a year off at this point in time, how do you think that's going to work?
No, I think that if Shohei Ohtani, whatever club he ends up with, they would like him to. It would be much more of an asset to have him pitch. This guy's got, he's got top five stuff as far as being, you know, being on the mound, and an offensive player, he's top two or three. It's just incredible what he does. So it remains to be seen what the guys on what their lineup's going to look like. They've got a lot to dig through right now and just trying to get settle on a manager or a staff and start working towards their goal. It's a situation much like the Dodgers. You know, Dodgers never kind of went back and rebuild. Maybe they did your when you guys just came up, you know, the whole group of you guys came up and they said, look, these kids are young, they're good, we're going to go after it. And the rebuilding led to a World Series appearance in 74, you know, after a couple
of
years.
Right.
So I don't know if the Angels, there's so much pressure to win. The fan base keeps expanding, and it's tough to sit back and just say we're going to rebuild. So you have to kind of do it on the fly. I was there 19 seasons. There were definitely years where we could see you were going to try to rebuild on the fly with some younger guys.
Right.
And so that situation, I got some young talent coming through the minor leagues. But with those, when you look at Mike Trout and you look at Rendon, you look at Shohei. The Drury year he had, they've got the makings of a real good offensive club that you have to match with your pitching and your bullpen.
Yeah. You know, we've seen a lot of rule changes in this year's game, and also different tactics over the last few years, which means that, you know, your traditional lineup doesn't look like it used to anymore. You're stacking the top end of your lineup with your best hitters. And I'm talking about power hitters leading off. Ohtani has led off. Carl Schwarber has led off, although he strikes out 215 times a year. And I don't know where that's in after a while. But, you know, everybody is stacked. You got the top of the lineup with the Dodgers and Mookie Betts and Freeman. The Yankees have Judge sometimes hitting second. And everybody's moved up. Do you like it?
Here's what I like. The only thing I like about it is if you look at the macro, as we talked about, these guys have a probability. Every time in the lineup, it's like about 12 at-bats a year. So they might get 12 to 14 more at-bats if you move them up one spot. What I don't like about it is if you do look at it in the context of a game, I always wanted a guy like Mike Trout early in the game to get up there with runners on base. And they're in scoring position at first base with Mike, the same way. So what you wanted is, let's set the table for Mike in maybe the first inning, because he would be up in the first inning, possibly the third inning, fifth slash maybe sixth inning. So I wanted to get him up with at least a guy on first base as many times as I could. in a game. And it's tough to do if he leads off. Obviously, if he leads off first inning, he's coming up with nobody on base.
Exactly.
You know, and you don't know what happens from then on. You know, you never know what's happening. Plus, everyone says, well, you got an 8-9 hitter that can set the table for him. Well, an 8-9 hitter and your team were good, really good table setters, they should be hitting first and second. You know what I mean? So you're not going to bank on these guys just to set the table for a guy like Mike. So I never liked them leading off. Second, you know, we would chart the number of hitters that you would have in scoring position through our whole lineup to make sure we were feeding the beast. You want to feed the guys on base. And I just felt very good as far as the course of a game, how it would create offense with a guy like Mike hitting third, guy like Shohei fourth, and let's go with that and try to win this game, not worry about the 12 at-bats more they might get if they hit, right, you know, a little higher.
So for you, Maury Wills and Davey Lopes would still be leading off.
I think those guys you couldn't get. I don't think you can get better guys. And Davey, you know, Davey had surprising power for a guy who would lead off. But I think you want those table setters. I want to feed the beast, whether it's first or second. I want to feed those guys that are going to drive the ball and are going to get the RBIs for you, which now is a stat that's being downplayed.
Exactly. And I don't understand
that at all. Maybe that's why I'm sitting on the couch right now.
Well, I mean, you're not the only one. I mean, you know, it's interesting as to how they try and evaluate the game that is 140 some years old after this. And, you know, it's here to stay. I don't see metrics changing. I think it's here. This is what they're going to do.
I think it's a pendulum, Penguin. It really slid hard one way for a while. And I think there's going to be a balance. I think teams are going to see the value in whether it's a productive out or you're putting the ball in play more and you're not punching out as much. I think it's all going to come back and be part of the game. So I think there'll be a blend. I think it'll be a good blend. There are some numbers that are and theories that come onto your desk that are derived by by formulas, and this makes sense, and to go this way, and you can apply those, and it's good. But like I said, some of them are much too much in the macro, and it suffocates you in that macro that you really you've got no way to make your team better with it.
I also think that the fans are going to play a role in that as well, because a lot of the baseball fans that I know and talk to, they do not like seeing 200 strikeouts for a player per season. They do not like that. They like the excitement, like you guys talked about, is seeing the ball being put in play.
I agree with that. Also agree, though, that fans are very forgiving when a team wins a World Series or gets to the World Series if they've got three guys that strike out 200 bats but are hitting the ball out of the park 40 times, much like the Phillies getting their last season. So there's a lot of ways to win a game, a lot of ways to reach the playoffs. Which way is better, I don't know. But I do like that if you go back to 1960 and you go back to the Game 7 of the World Series with the Pirates and Yankees, I believe the score, you might want to look it up. I thought it was like 13-11 or something. Some wild score. And if you look at it, not one player struck out in that game. No strikeouts in the whole game.
That.
No, that's the one where Bill Mazeroski hits a home run to walk off, but nobody struck out in that game, Ron.
It's 10-9. 10-9. Walk-off.
I did not get to play in that field. I would have loved to have gotten to play in that field. I'd love to have played in Ebbets Field. I'd love to play at Crosley Field.
Yeah.
All those old ballparks back then.
You didn't miss them by much.
No.
By the time you got there, those multi-purpose stadiums were coming up.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we're winding down on this segment with Mike Socha, and I just said it's been really a terrific time again to talk baseball. And, you know, the one thing that I want to ask you about is, before we close up, I'm not a big fan of the bullpen game. You know, there's a lot of important games. I don't know how many times you do that in the course of the season, but when you have as many wild card teams vying for that final spot, I just kind of think that, you know, couldn't we, you know, have a real game
We'll talk about that when we get more time, but I think you're totally right about the you know, how rosters are made and how pitching staffs are set up, that these are even available to you, you know, to do, because you should have, you know, the shortening the starting innings for pitchers, and sometimes it leads to a game like this when your bullpen gets used.
Okay, we're going to close this up with Mike right after this message.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Campy? Okay, we are now going to wrap things up with our special guest, Mike Socha. Mike, we were talking a little bit off camera, and I know why you had a lot of success now. You're very in-depth and very well thought, and some of the things that you mentioned to me since I've been out of the game for so long is very impressive. So you've had a terrific playing career, great managing career, always a special guest to have on, lots of things to share. So I want to thank you again for being our guest, and happy Halloween to you and your family, and hope that all things go well for
you. I dressed up as a skinny guy, Usher.
I knew there was a costume in here
exactly,
somewhere.
Exactly, there was, yeah. No, right. thanks, Penguin. Thanks, I appreciate Michael. That.
Appreciate it. And now we approach the weekend, of course, and we've got a lot of football on top. The crazy game in college football, crazy games in pro football. My Rams are, sorry about that. My 49ers are stumbling miserably. They can't seem to do anything right. Lots of turnovers. Big game down here at the Coliseum this weekend, USC and Washington. I'm hoping that my Huskies can hold on to the ball, because the USC defense is so abysmal that they shouldn't have any trouble scoring 40 points. But if they can't hold on to the football, it's going to be different. And, of course, my boys up in Washington State are still struggling. I hope that they can find their way back. But they're not the same team that they were in the beginning, and I hope they find their place. Any interesting things that you have on tap, Mike?
Well, the one thing that I just wanted to note was that the Ronsay curse is still in effect.
Ever since
you said that Colorado would not even win the Pac-12, but also not even go 500 in the Pac-12, they've been winless.
Yes, that's correct. I'm sorry, but you know,
Coach Prime's going to show up at your house and start yelling at you.
You know, I mean, look, they got their that lockers robbed too at the Rose Bowl. I guess that's insult to injury.
Say curse, I guess.
Well, I got to tell you, I just hope that my boys from Washington can play well this weekend, and my 49ers can recover, because they have the toughest part of their schedule the second half of the season. So I want to thank you again for joining us, and we'll see about that. I want you to remind you to take a look at the book that's on the ronsayshow.com. And please visit us, and I hope you guys have a great weekend, and we will see you the following week. Thanks for watching.